And for me, it's like you are what you consume. You become what you think, right? I'm always consuming the good knowledge. So I read books, I invest in myself, self-development. You know, Jim Rohn said, you rarely exceed the level of personal development.
The Side Hustler's Perspective podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, we break down the art of healthy hustling, getting out of your own way, and growing your creative business. What's going on? You're listening to episode 228 of the Side Hustler's Perspective podcast. I'm your host, Coach Scotty Russell, and my mission is to put you in a position to take your creative pursuits full-time one day. You can follow along with my latest art, design, and tips on mindset, motivation, and marketing over on Instagram at Coach Scotty Russell and all things podcast at Side Hustler's Perspective. Today's overview, so many of us are guilty of obsessing over the external results like followers, clients, money, etc. We get so wrapped up in comparison and things like imposter syndrome and burnout that we fail to gain meaningful traction in an impactful direction. When in reality, focusing on doing the internal work first, like personal development, mindset, habits, etc., is what sets the foundation, sets the tone, and the trajectory to attain the results that you're seeking. The more you know yourself, the better position you're in to build a mental fortress and crush it in your own lane, long term, on your own terms. And today's guest has put a huge focus on doing the internal work first at such an early age, which has him experiencing the external results that many of us dream of living out. I'm talking about my new homie, Jeremy Mura, a full-time brand designer and strategist who also thrives as an educator teaching graphic and brand design. When he's not working or collaborating with brands like American Express or Skillshare, he's educating and creating resources for thousands of creatives worldwide through his digital products, courses, and more recently, Mura Academy. In today's episode, we talk shop on building a mental fortress through personal development, developing systems, processes, and routines, tips for being more consistent with what you're doing, the trifecta for creating multiple income streams. I think you're really going to dig that. Financial literacy, teaching what you know, and so much more. For real, this episode is loaded like a baked potato with a ton of takeaways, actionable tips, and it's stacked with resources, like tons of resources with this one. And my goal with this episode is to spotlight the importance of first doing that internal work, stack that with some action before getting wrapped up in the external results. And I think the game is going to change for you. You'll be playing a different game at a higher level. I promise you that. But before we get started, could you do me a solid? This show grows because of dope souls like you sharing the good word with your family, your friends, or your following. And it would mean the world to me if you took a screenshot or a video of you working to this in the background and make sure to tag me at Side Hustler's Perspective as well as the Jeremy Mura on Instagram so we can connect and I can reshare the love back, or Twitter or whatever social platform you're on. And as always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, please welcome Jeremy Mura on the show today. How you doing, dude? I'm stoked we finally get a chance to connect.
I know, finally, man. Hey, Scotty, how you doing? Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it, bro.
What time is it now where you're at?
It's currently 11:40 p.m. at night in sunny Sydney, Australia.
What a psycho, ladies and gentlemen. I'm like, clearly you don't have kids yet. Like, this is 8:30 a.m. for me. And I'm like, dude, I would have totally, like, gotten up an hour. I would have made this work at 6 a.m. or something like that my time, because I'm an early bird. I'm used to being like that, but maybe you're just naturally. Are you usually up this late?
Yeah, my wife and I we usually kick back, like, you know, read books, you know, stay up and pray or watch movies. So we're up at one. We go to bed like 1 o'clock, you know. Yeah,
night owls. Okay. Well, then I don't feel so horrible now. But as we were getting to know each other, kind of like in the pregame of this, you and I go back to the Sean West community. I was trying to put my mind around where I've seen your name before you started popping up in Twitter and everything else. But wow, we go back without me knowing we go back. So that's really, really dope. What attracted me to you from the jump is, like, man, I could tell you were a high performer. I'm not a brand design or strategist guy anymore like I was during my freelance and my corporate cubicle days. I became a fan of your content based on your consistency, your mindset, your message, and marketing, which I try to build the foundation of the show. And so I started digging into all the moves you're making in terms of, like, let me go past the Instagram audience. Let me go past the message. And I'm like, what's this dude doing? And then I'm just like, blown away in terms of the teaching, the community building, creative passive income off affiliates, products, etc., your resources page, Mira Academy. Man, I'm just blown away. I'm like, I got to get to know him more. I got to dig deeper. I got to learn from this guy. And I think a lot of people are going to be able to learn from you today. So without me talking and filling this shit up with air anymore, for those who may not know you, can you give us a brief Wikipedia page summary about yourself?
Sure. So my name's Jeremy. I'm 27. I'm currently married. I've lived in Australia all my life. I currently live in Sydney. I'm half Cypriot, half Italian, which is cool. I've been, a graphic designer since 2012, 2013. I graduated high school in 2011. Been designing for a while. I've done freelancing. I've worked with agencies. Done a whole bunch of different stuff. I love going to the gym, exercising, big believer in biohacking and health, which is good. Love knowledge, love reading, doing books, love movies, love doing activities, done skydiving, hot air ballooning, all the fun stuff. That's a little bit about me.
Well-rounded. And we also briefly talked about financial literacy, which is like big in my world.
Yep.
Fitness, family, finances.
That's it.
In a sense, outside of my creative business addiction, I'm like, okay, maybe that's something we can talk about too towards the end, just because I want to paint a picture like, yo, you're 27 and you're finding your groove. I'm not going to call you a unicorn, but I just want to say like, hey, you can get started or you can get started late, but regardless, like, your path is unique and different to your own. I think there's a lot people can learn from you today, no matter where they are within your journey. So we were also talking behind the scenes. It's like, I know you've been doing your thing full time 2 or 3 years now, but can you speak toward the slow and steady grind that has led you to being able to do your thing full time? Because I think that's what a lot of people are chasing. And I just want to paint a picture of like, this is the work that went in to get to where you're at today. This isn't just like, aha, I decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a big leap with no demand, no plan, no strategy. I'm just going to do it and see what happens. I'm like, no. I would love to hear your story about how it got started and the phases along the way to where you were able to take that leap.
Yeah, sure, bro. I definitely will admit it was a long journey and it is a process. There's no shortcuts, man, in life. Everything is patience and discipline. But for me, like, when I graduated in 2011, I basically went into university. My first 2 years, I did 2 courses, but I failed both of them. And that part of my time of my life, I was, still partying, doing drugs, doing all those things. And then when I came out of that in 2014, I found a course at SAA Institute. It's a global like college. And then I did a bachelor of graphic design. So that was a 2-year bachelor, fast-tracked. I was still working part-time at, it's called Woolworths in Australia. So basically it's like your grocer, like Walmart or whatever. And I was like a checkout chick basically, and pushing trolleys and whatever.
Dude, that was me. I was a cart boy.
That's it, man.
Pushing in carts, them gains. And checkout cashier. I played that, I did that game for 7 years, six or seven years.
Same dude, what the heck?
Yeah.
I started when I was like 14, bro.
There was a time, man, I hated my job so much, they had me outside picking up cigarette buds. I was at the grunt level of shit. Like, oh, hey, we're not busy right now. No one to bag groceries. Go outside and pick up cigarette butts. I'm like, fuck this.
Oh, man.
And then I stayed there for a couple more years.
You gotta do it. That's how you learn.
Yeah. Okay, yes, I understand where you're coming from.
So yeah, did that. And then also I started freelancing a little bit on some freelance sites. There was one called Airtasker. And I started doing like logos, like $30, man, $30, $50, $100. And then it started going up to like, $200, $300, $400, $500. That was the period between, up to 2015. Then end of 2015, boom, went out, started freelancing on the side. I was still living with my mom. My parents divorced when I was young. So basically living with my mom.
How old were you in 2015? So early 20s.
Yeah, so I was basically like 22, 23, something like that.
Okay, freelancing, but still living at home, like starting young.
Yeah, and then, so I was just freelancing, doing what I can to make money. And then basically 2018, I got married. So 2018, and for me, I made the decision. I'm like, I'm moving out of home. I'm going to have to, rent a place. I wasn't going to live with my parents. So I was like, okay, I have to rent a place, got bills to pay. So I ended up getting a part-time job 4 days a week at it was very close to my house, so it was just easy to drive. It was a social research agency. One of my friends from church worked there as a designer, and he got me connected, and I got the job. 4 days a week, very chill job. I was doing like infographics and visual reports. Got to work with like Food Bank, KFC, a lot of non-profit brands as well, which was interesting. So yeah, that was pretty chill. Just put on my headphones, do the work, and it was cool. And then I quit in 2019. So 2019, around November.
And you're freelancing on the side
this whole time. Yes, 100%.
So you had a part-time job. How much, guesstimate, just a rough estimate, how much were you making on the side as a freelancer, as a side hustle?
I was making less than 30K.
Less than 30K, okay.
Pretty low. I was earning around 45, 50 Australian doing the part-time thing. So roughly like it was 60K if it was full-time. And then, yeah, around 20-30K on the side.
So that's pretty decent money altogether, though.
Yeah, it is. But then, like, I had expenses like rent, electricity, Adobe subscription, software.
Life and business expenses, for sure.
Yeah, life, bro, gym, you know. And then it adds up. And you end up earning, like, what, 40,000 or 30,000, whatever it is. But, yeah, and then so I quit in 2019. And then that's when I just went all in. I'm like, I got to do this. I felt it in me, like, you know, my friend, I talked with prophetic friends and, you know, they gave me words of encouragement. I really like jumped on that. And I just felt like, yeah, God was telling me like time to, you know, go full time on my business. And then I just quit because I was bored. I was like, I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't learning. I wasn't growing at that job. And I'm like, I feel like I was done there. So I'm like, boom, had to make the leap. And I just did it with whatever savings I had. And then, yeah.
But you had a savings. Did you have any debt at that time? Student loan?
Oh yeah. I got a lot of student debt, bro.
You still do. Okay. Yeah,
from all the courses. I basically did three separate courses and that's added up.
I get it, man. I was buried there for a while. I just want to paint a picture. Like, was there demand for your work where you were like, yo, I can't say yes to everything right now because you still have a day job and married? Like, were you able to turn down work where you're like, wow, what if I did this full time? Or were you just like, man, I'm just going to take a risk, take a leap and make moves and make it happen?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I was in heaps in demand. I did have like friends from high school hitting me up and word of mouth. I had friends from like that were creative directors. But the funny thing is, like, a lot of the income was like coming from my courses and like products and affiliates.
So you were still teaching and making passive income.
Yes.
Okay.
From 2016. That's from 2016, the January, I launched my YouTube channel. I started doing Skillshare courses in August. I started doing templates and products on Creative Market and also doing affiliates. So I was getting a couple brand deals for YouTube here and there. Then I was getting like logo projects on the side, logo and brand identity, basically.
So before you made the full-time freelance leap, though, the main driving factor is you had separate passive income streams. And like most people just, there's a huge perk. So it's like some type of safety net basically, is there, yeah. Even if you still have debt or whatever. So, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's important note for people.
100%. So I had money there. I had a bit of savings. And my wife was working as well. And so she was she had to pay off some, you know, credit cards and stuff. So she was bringing in some money, which is cool. And then, yeah, went full time. And then my business just tripled basically from there. 2020. So basically I started doing carousels on Instagram. Instagram launched the feature at the end, like 2019, somewhere around November. And then I just kept pushing carousels and I was doing it like 4 to 5 days a week. My Instagram audience blew up. That pushed more people to my courses, pushed more people to my YouTube channel. And I started getting brand deals like with brands. I've worked with like Astute Graphics in video, deposit photos. I'm about to do a brand deal with Wix Editor X, which is cool. That's pretty good money as well. Just creating content now. So I'm like an influence creator economy thing.
I was about to say, like, you're from the outside looking in. Yeah, you got freelance, but dude, you're a content creator.
Basically, you are
a content creator, and I got questions lined up for about that. But that's like I gotta ask. Income wise, you don't gotta share the exact amount unless you feel comfortable. But what brings in more income? The educational side of passive income, of courses, digital resources, client work, or brand deals are like the top four income things I've heard you talk about. Like, what's like the biggest bread and butter out of these four buckets?
Sure. So my biggest is actually my Skillshare courses.
Wow.
I'm earning around 4 to 5K a month on that. So that's, and I got
digital dApps, dude. Digital dApps. Good for
thanks,
you.
Bro. I'm really thankful. Like, it's good. So my least money comes from clients. Like, I'd love to get more brand identity projects and logos, but you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the times it's low budget clients, like $500, $1,000. But I'm like, I want to do like $3K, $5K, $10K. But, you know, it is what it is, right?
That's still, yeah. But it's really the audience generated.
And then the brand deals like second income.
What I really like to paint a picture of here is like, so many people want to do full-time freelance and client work. I'm like, dude, that is a grind. But when you build your own personal brand and you like give value and provide impact for an audience and you teach what you know, you pay attention to what people want to learn and ask questions, it takes time. Like you got to just dive all in on your own and just like trust your gut and go into that lane and just start throwing spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks. But when you truly like grow an audience that cares about you and the work that you do, unlimited potential of possibilities aside from just focusing on client work. Like there's way more to this game than only thinking client work is the ticket.
100%. And you just reminded me of something that Sean West used to teach. He's like the trifecta: clients, teaching, and products.
Yep.
Those three things, if you do them, that you're going to have a good time. And that's only three streams. If you start adding more streams, like so much potential, bro. But yeah, I really believe that principle. You need to have those in place and it's really going to help you out. So I really took that on board. But yeah, I'm super blessed and thankful, man, to be able to generate passive income. Obviously, it's sort of semi-passive because I had to put in the work and do the courses and stuff like that. But
yeah, and there's still maintenance and support, all that stuff that's with it. But it's not like here's 30 hours I got to spend on a client project. It's like flipping tables at a restaurant.
Yeah,
like,
straight up.
Here we go. Next one. I was like, I getting hired to create for other people versus like, what can I create now that provides insane value and creates impact?
Yes.
For other people.
And you feel more fulfilled, man. You help people. It's practical. And you can be more creative. Like you can create whatever you want, a product or whatever. And because you've built the audience, it's just, you ride the momentum, bro. And it's just like so awesome and so fun and it's awesome.
I love it. So you seem like a big, again, I see so much like parallel in myself and you.
Awesome.
You just found your groove a little bit earlier than I did, but I'm a big time process, systems, and routine guy. You seem like a big time process, systems, and routine guy as well.
Yep. 100%.
A quick action taker. Like I have a big ask to my audience or my guests that I bring on. And this is like a shot in the dark. You know, not everybody does it. And I totally understand. Like just asking someone to do episode artwork to be featured across there, it plays such a huge role in this podcast. This dude set a record of like flipping artwork back. I swear to God, it was like an hour. It was like an hour. I'm like, okay, that's insane. I'm like, okay. And you're like, I'm a quick action taker.
Do it, man.
I'm like, yes, you certainly are. So can you speak a little bit more to how you've built your systems, your processes, and routines over the year, how you've been able to dial them in? Were you always this like structured? For me, my structure came from being involved in sports, hands down, and just being like really involved in school-related activities, whatever it was. Like, dude, I liked school. I was a nerd. I got good grades. I liked being involved in sports, even though my portfolio sucked when I graduated. But where does this all come from and how do you really put an importance in on routine and processes and systems as brand strategy, dude? I can see why that's important, but can you speak towards the evolution of this over the year and how important of a role it plays into you crushing your thing full time today?
100%, man. Systems and processes are the biggest thing to running a smooth business. Like before I used to be sloppy, especially in high school and uni, things were like I would always have a messy like downloads folder and like my folder's messed up and you know even when I'm working on projects like just messy stuff and even when I was in uni like file naming but I learned to do that over time.
I bet you your art birds were just disgusting and no organization of your layers.
Oh yeah, 100%. They were filthy, bro. Just stuff everywhere. But over time after reading lots of books and getting to learn about productivity hacks and habits, I figured that the less cluttered your mind is, the more clear and the more time you have to think and you can, you know, less brain fog because you're not, you know, filling your mind with all these other little things. So the more organized, the more clear you are, when you have order, things just work smoother and better and faster. So for me, learning process was such a big thing. You know, obviously I took a lot of courses and stuff like that, learning how to do project management for client work. And then a lot of the times I invest in software. Like for me at the moment, I use a app called Rounded, and that's helps me manage my finances as a sole trader. It's an Aussie site and it connects with my bank account. So I can easily just add expenses and income really easily. And then in terms of like content creation, like I use Notion. I don't know if you're a big Notion fan, but I love taking notes in there. I have all.
Yep, I use Notion here.
Yeah, I use it for my workspaces, do my YouTube content, my Instagram content. And then what else? Obviously, I use Adobe Creative Cloud. That's my main thing. Illustrator, Photoshop, InDesign, Bridge, basically the whole thing. I'm on a PC, so I don't use Sketch. I don't use Figma and all those other fancy stuff. Just keep it simple. For like YouTube stuff, I use vidIQ, TubeBuddy. I also use like Camtasia for recording my screen, for screen recording. Sometimes I use Loom. Loom's cool. If I do live streaming, I use Streamlabs from OBS. That's beautiful. Those are like my main things that I use on a daily basis. Obviously Slack and Discord, but that's more of other things when I'm in like channels and that. Another good one is Podia. Podia like manages all my courses and like products. That's a really great one.
It's like a Teachable.
It's same as Teachable, a bit similar.
Yes, yeah. See, I use Zenlayer, Podia. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So one thing I'm hearing you say is the more you yearn to learn, the more you increase what you earn.
That's it, man. Didn't you post that on Twitter?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
It's true. Yep.
Twitter is like my experimental ground to just post what's on my mind in the moment, and then I'll like maybe design it or turn it somewhere else. I don't know. I'm in this new shift of the content. I used to be like the pretty illustrations and lettering back in the day, maybe when you first
learned
the Sean West community. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just completely diving into a different lane now. It's scary and new, but yeah, I'm like, okay, you're basically proving my point here. The more you go and like cram your head with knowledge, not only like, don't just be a person who learns, but it's like, you got to apply.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just be a motivation or education junkie. It's like, you got to go take some action now. And I'm like, yo, you take mad action. I also like the fact that you live a cluttered life and disorganized. And would you wake up not knowing what to work on in the past?
Mm. Yeah, 100%. Like, you feel like there's too many things to do, or I don't know what I'm working on the next day. But like these days I use Notion and I plan out my week and my day. So it's like, okay, here's my three important tasks. Boom. I know what to do for this day.
Per day.
And be specific. Yeah, per day. Each day has a set task.
I teach my students, I'm like, yo, one to three things. If you can just get like one of those tasks done a day,
yep,
you made it. But once you're like full time, yeah, you can scale it up and get three onward.
Yeah.
But okay, that's the beautiful thing you said right there. I'm not a big believer in you can just wing it. You can just show up, roll out of bed, shit productivity, and be super successful without some type of plan, some type of intention, some type of strategy, some type of goals and targets, some systems, processes, disciplines, habits. I'm all those things here. And you said a huge thing. You plan your week out in advance, and then I'm assuming you plan your night before. So you like you wake up in the morning, you know exactly what you're going to work on. Like, when do you start your day?
Well, I start my day around 8:30, 8:39. Similar to my wife wakes up, because if I wake up too early, she gets a bit grubby. But around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then I basically go into my routine. So I usually go for a walk, get some vitamin D. I drink water. I'll have a coffee. And then sometimes I add I take some mushroom supplements, which is really cool.
Yep.
Lion's Mane is really good. If you guys check out Life Cycle, they have a website. Really great. They've got Lion's Mane. They've got Reishi. I'm
trying to remember, what's that brand, Joe Rogan, that mushroom stuff Joe Rogan was always pushing. Okay, is that it? Okay.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Like, I've tried it a couple times.
So you do have a morning routine. Like, I think that's super dope. Even if you might be a night owl, you still have a morning routine.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, sets the tone for your day, which, yeah, it's great.
If you have a good morning, then the rest of your day is going to be great, you know? And there's a good book called Eat the Frog, Brian Tracy. He talks about, like, tackling your first task in the morning, you know? Also, Brendan Burchard talks a lot about his routine in the morning as well. He does, like, meditations, affirmations. Yeah.
And he's that high performance. Oh my God, what's his like?
High performance habits.
Something based. Yeah, high performance habits. Yep, Eat the Frog. Yep, Eat the Frog has been huge for me. Like, tackle the top task first.
That's it.
Yep.
Because if you do the hardest thing, then it's like you have these big accomplishments. It's like, wow, like I've done so much. Everything else is going to be easy from now on. So the day becomes a downhill slide.
Yeah, I'm a big believer too. It's like, do the highest willpower task that move your business forward. So if anybody's thinking like, how do I determine what's my most important task? For me, like, I'm not an artist and a designer anymore. I'm a writer. My business moves off writing. I would say you're a writer.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Because you're content creators are writers. Teachers are writers first. And so what moves my business forward is copywriting, podcast structure of like outlines, whatever it is, emails, getting back to my students with like thoughtful replies. So anything writing based requires the highest willpower for me. It's my biggest business moving forward task. And so that's always got to be in the morning. But yeah, I wake up, get my breakfast, get my morning walk in, stretch, and then I get into writing. But today it's podcast mornings based on people's schedule. But what would you say is your highest willpower task that you need to do in the mornings?
I'd say if it's a content day, usually Mondays and Tuesdays are like my content writing days. So I have to write out my Instagram carousels and all that stuff. So that would probably, similar to you, like I have to sit down and write, and I do batching for my work.
So you perfect. So you have specific days broken up. These days are for this, these days for this, and batching. Awesome. Not everybody's on that level yet. So in the beginning, it's just like, yo, pick one priority and do one thing a day that leads to that priority versus like, yeah, many people aren't going to be on this level yet, but still it's something to shoot for.
100%. And it's doable. You know, once you get the systems in place, like having a, like, that's why I like Notion. It's a workspace where you can have all your workspaces in one space instead of going Google Docs, doing this. And I can see clearly, okay, this is like what I have to do. It's easy to write, like no distractions. But yeah, it works for me, man. And like, I've been using this system for like, you know, 2-3 years and it's been doing well. So
I like that. It works for you.
And some days, like, I'll admit it doesn't go exactly like as I plan it. You know, I might plan on Sunday, plan the week, but then some days, like I have to run an errand or I have to do something or my wife needs help or whatever. So each day is usually very similar, but some days it's a bit different. So don't, if your plans change, don't like beat yourself up like, oh, I was meant to do this. You know, just keep moving forward.
It's important to have a plan, but then no, shit can change and be really ready to adapt. And I think most people aren't cut out for this because they need just that 9-to-5 structure. It's a beautiful thing to have a day job.
Yeah.
And I think when you get into the entrepreneur space of doing your thing full time, like you need to be able to adapt on the fly. Like all of a sudden, oh man, I got to get my kiddos from daycare early because one of them's sick now. I'm like, my whole schedule just got
messed up.
Rude. I think that's an important thing. Knowing like it's important to have plans, but be flexible.
Totally agree.
So consistency, I would say, has been the key. Consistency and delayed gratification are like two things that have been really, really pivotal in me building my business over time. And I can totally see that within you too, because you got to remind people that you exist. And then we live in a world where everybody wants to be a TikTok celebrity overnight. I'm like, no, it's a patient, slow and steady grind.
Yep.
Each piece of content you create and share is really a seed being planted that creates opportunities for yourself in the future, yes, which you've learned, especially with brand deals and everything else. Yep. You know, in the beginning, you didn't know any of this was coming. You just had faith in yourself and a higher power that like, yo, if I have faith in this path, something's going to turn out from it. You didn't know what it was going to be. So I feel like you live in my feed every day. You're in my feed every day.
Why not?
And that's one, because you show up and create, and two, like I clearly engage with it, so the algorithms get to feed me more. Here you go, right, Scotty, have another helping. But whether it's Instagram or Twitter, how the hell do you have the bandwidth to create daily, especially when it's so much educational based carousel content? Oh, let me pull up your feed too while you talk on this.
Oh man, it's your fault, bro. You keep liking my posts. That's why they keep popping up.
Yep, I keep liking, but still, it's like,
oh,
how could I like it if you weren't there?
True.
So if you're watching, I mean, we're recording in July. People are seeing this in September, so you're probably at 100K by then.
Almost 1,000 posts.
Like, you do, 2,000 posts. What am
I? Oh, almost 1,000.
1,000 posts.
Yeah, almost hitting it. Wow.
What am I at now? God, I feel like I'm more than that, and I'm not on your level. Yeah. I've made a shift. We'll just call it that. But yeah, how do you stay consistent? It's like literally daily. So you have your content creation, you have like your Mondays and Tuesdays, and you just bust out like your carousels for the week, all your content for a week?
Yeah, but that's it, man. It's basically I bust out the batch, but look, sometimes I improvise. I don't get it done on the day, and I have to like on Thursday, Friday, catch up on one or two, whatever.
Like post twice in a day?
No, not post twice in a day. Like I might miss my batching. Like instead of, I try and batch. So Instagram, I batch for the week. So I'll do six or seven posts. Sometimes I don't do Sundays. When I first started out, I was only doing 4 to 5 times a week. So Monday to Friday. Then only recently I started doing like single posts on the weekend. So I'm doing like daily posting at the moment. Because just to get the algorithm going, better results, momentum.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, like I didn't hire anyone. I do it all myself. And that's because I'm really fast with Illustrator. I know my shortcuts. I have a subscription to Envato Elements. So I know where to get images. And for me, it's like you are what you consume. You become what you think, right? As a man thinks, so is he. So for me, it's like I'm always consuming the good knowledge. So I read books. I invest in myself, self-development. You know, Jim Rohn said, you rarely exceed the level of personal development. Right?
Yeah, 100%. And also, you're the sum of the five people you surround yourself with is from him too. I'm like, amen to both of those.
And those and all these things affect my mindset. So everything for me stems from mindset, bro, right? So I know that I think it's a long-term game. I know the effects, right? And as you said, it's like the law of sowing and reaping, right? I'm putting out into the world, releasing energy, planting seeds, and later it grows into a tree and brings fruit. And I see the big picture. I see beyond, right? But for me, yeah, for like Instagram, I batch on a Monday or Tuesday. For YouTube, I do it usually on a Wednesday.
And you're once a week on YouTube?
I'm doing two videos a week at the moment. Two to three. Sometimes I get three, but at the moment it's two. And I batch out like 1 month. I try and do 2 months, but it just depends. Some days, like I'm not as productive as some other ones. But usually midweek, if I have client work, I try and squeeze it in, you know, on the Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday I have my academy call. And then in between that, I'm doing courses, products, and everything in between. But yeah, that's how I do it, man. Just batch. And then usually Mondays, I try and write all my, like do everything writing, then designing on Monday, and then, you know, editing on Monday. So it's like, I break it up.
So what I hear often is like, from students, I'm talking to students all the time, thousands of students in a year of, there's no way I can get to your level. There's no way I can do that. I barely can post once a week. So you weren't always on this level. I wasn't always on this level. And so like, I've had to constantly think about how can I simplify the game? How can I like, what you and I do, this is just normal. This is normal. We've built because of systems, routines, discipline, habits. Like it's normal to us. Like I was a psycho like you before I had kids. Now I'm like, I have to be way more intentional. I just can't create the content on the level I used to. So I have to simplify. And I'm on calls more than anything now these days with students. So if you could put yourself in the position of someone like just getting started, just finding their groove, been at it off and on, what are like three tips you would give for them to help them become more consistent? Like they can't get on your level right away. Like there's no way. It's too big of a mountain to climb overnight for them. How would you distill it and be like, here's where I would start for this season. Maybe it's for the first month, 3 months or 6 months, start with this.
Yeah, I'd really say like try and challenge yourself. Like do a 30-day challenge or a 100-day challenge. A lot of people do that.
Shit, let's start with like a 10-day challenge.
Yeah, okay, even smaller.
10 or 30. I don't want to push someone with 100 right away. I've heard too many people slip and fall and fail. And they've like, I haven't done anything consistently.
Yeah, 100%. We don't want that to happen. Yeah, so just start off with a 10-day challenge or something and see and like try and plan it out beforehand and then just start creating the content. And just, you got to get into the flow. You need to know your strengths and your weaknesses. Like learn your tools, make sure you know your tools in and out, whether it's Photoshop or, you know, InDesign, whatever like design tool or whatever, you know, writing app you have, make sure you learn that thing. So you don't have to think about how to like, make sure everything is fast and like, it's going to be easy to start creating. Cause if there's resistance, you're going to be reluctant or you're going to procrastinate, right? Or you're going to want to play games cause it's too hard to get started. So make the friction point and the threshold so low that it's easy to start. So try and start off with a challenge, you know, where it's like you focus on creating content. And one of the principles I learned is like, you got to teach everything you know. So if you feel like you don't know a lot about a topic, you can just share your process. So maybe you're working on a client project. Maybe you learned something from a TED talk you watched. Why don't you just share that in a post? It can be a single post. It can be a carousel, maybe a video, 2-minute video. You know, try and distill that information and just teach it because someone else is going to find value in that, right? People want to be helped. Like there's always going to be a beginner that is on a lower level than you because people are being born every day. So there's always someone with less knowledge. So you have knowledge or a different perspective that you can share with someone that someone needs. So that would probably be the first, you know, few points. And then I would say, like, you need to find a group or, you know, a coaching group or a mentor or a community, whether it be, for me, it's like a lot of communities on Instagram. So I can talk to other designers to get feedback or to get inspiration. So I'm constantly looking at other accounts and seeing what's working, seeing how other people are sharing their ideas and seeing if I can take some of those nuggets and apply it to my work. Because sometimes you feel like if we get in a rut and there's no stimuli around us, we can't draw from anything, right? You need to build your own well and get inspiration from everywhere so then you can draw from the world when you need it in those times of that, when you're creating the content or you're starting the challenge, so then you can start picking things out and saving time, you know? But yeah, I don't know. Those are the few things that come to the top of my head.
So recap those in like three quick bullet points.
So number one, challenge yourself with a short weekly or like a bi-weekly challenge. You can, like, whether it's a logo design, illustration, or just content. Number two is like share your process, teach what you know. Don't be scared. There's always a beginner, someone on a lower level. And sharing helps you retain information and knowledge. And then number three, have a community where you can get feedback and draw inspiration from. So you can build on what's working to make your workflow speedy and also know your tools as well to speed up your workflow and streamline your process. Hopefully that's practical.
No, I think it's super, super practical because what I'm realizing, your mindset, dude, I'm a mindset, dude. Like, mindset is everything. The space between your ears is the war waging. Like, if you could win more often than not 7 days in a week and you can at least win four out of those, like, you're going to see progress over time. Like, my nutrition and training coach, very similar to how I say, like, yo, if you show up 85% of the time within this program or show up 300 out of 365 days a year, you just show up 85% of the time minimum. What is that? Like B+, whatever it is, but you're still going to achieve incredible results. You're going to get even better if you show up like 90%, 95, but that's like just like a baseline. Showing up 85% of the time, you're going to get insane results. So you as a side hustler, you just showed up and created and check the box of just showing up and investing in yourself, making your dream a non-negotiable. Yeah, show up every day. Dude, you got all the old Sean West stuff. I remember when he made that. Yeah, wow. But it's just, you got to make your dream a non-negotiable is what we're trying to say here. Like, no one's going to do this for you. No one's going to save you. No one's going to deliver your dream to your front door like a fresh hot piping pizza.
That's right.
So
you have to take responsibility.
Yeah, it's from a mindset thing. It's like, the pros outweigh the cons of you consistently showing up. Like, what are you scared of? For me, I'm still scared of it today. Like, the biggest thing holding me back from going all in on the coaching route is because I was known for illustration and lettering, and that's what the community knew me as. And now they're all going to think I'm a phony and I'm going to get judged. And I'm like, you know what? Like, who cares? That's not who I'm creating for. That's not who my message is for. So I had to just trust, like, I had something important to say. And there's a person out there who needs to hear it, even if it was my like past version of yourself. So in the beginning, did you have any of those hurdles or do you struggle with that now? Like, I'm 27. Who is going to take me seriously in the branding world when all these massive juggernauts of like Chris Doe or Sagmeister, yada, 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 you know, or I think of like Jacob Cass or, you know, anybody in that realm, you know?
Yeah. Like, for me, it goes back to mindset, because like a lot of people talk about imposter syndrome and analyst paralysis and, you know, all these things and burnout and stuff, but I never really experienced any of that, right? And one of the reasons was because in my early phases, because I got connected with my life coach at the time, his name is Chris Oyakhilome, and he's a pastor and a speaker from like Nigeria. And because I was plugged into church at that time, I really grew really fast because I used to listen to all his messages on YouTube and get plugged in. And he really
built a mental fortress early.
Oh yeah, exactly. And a lot of that comes from my Christian beliefs and, you know, biblical point of view. And it's not about religion. It's literally about like just believing the truth and my identity and who I am in God made me who to be. And I believe God is energy, he's light, he's source, he's love. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to use,
you know, someone else. God can be the universe, you know.
Yeah, he basically is. He's where everything is inside of him, right? We're encapsulated, everything, creation, people, everything, right? We're all connected, we're all one, right? So for me, learning all these truths, and it wasn't just about, you know, spiritual biblical truths like, you know, giving and, you know, patience and discipline and hard work and, you know, faith and belief, but I was also learning about finances and your mindset and how to, you know, cast down negative imaginations, negative thoughts, how to do positive affirmations, because your words carry power and life and frequency and release energy.
Think, speak, and act yourself into existence. All this woo-woo stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You frame your world by your words. And then with your intent and your desire of your heart, you literally change the atmosphere in your environment. And then if you want to talk about the nano level, you know, things like neuroplasticity, you actually change your DNA, you shift your cells by your thinking, and your thinking affects the dendrites in your brain. Like, bro, there's so many things. So it's like, I started learning all these things early. So for me, I didn't experience any of those things. But I will say some days I felt like quitting because I wasn't seeing results. Like I wasn't making a lot of money, or I wasn't like, I want 100,000 YouTube subscribers, but I only have 25,000 now. And early on I had like nothing. I wasn't earning that much money.
The delayed gratification gets harder to like have within your grasp because we compare, we see what other people have.
Yeah. And then you start like comparing, and then it's like, I'm putting so much effort. Like I'm putting value. I'm not getting the followers or whatever. And I'll admit I did have those thoughts, but it wasn't something that gripped me and held me down.
Fleeting.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, lingering around there. But then, you know, I would focus back to my faith and my belief and believe in myself. I believe all things are possible. So because I had that belief, I'm going to show up. I'm going to put effort because I know it's going to work out no matter what, because I'm made to be a success. I'm made to be a victor, you know, and you don't even have to be spiritual about it. Like literally, like you can believe that or not. It's just a choice. So I made those decisions. I fixed my belief system, and that really carried all the way through these past years.
Man, this is how I know we're supposed to talk, because you're hitting home on everything I preach. So many people are so in this for external results. Like, I didn't get new followers. I didn't get likes and comments.
Yep.
I didn't get a feature right away. I didn't get a paying job off of this right away. I'm like, you're still so early in the game. How much internal work have you done before expecting the external results? And you're going to show it. Like, I spent years developing my mindset because I played victim for the first 25 to 26 years old. Victim mentality, the world owes me something. And I found personal development. It saved me. The Zig Ziglars, the Tony Robbins, the Gary V's, the Les Browns, like all of that. So I started building my mind and then just creating, putting it out there. Had zero expectations or pressure from external results to make money from it. Like, but I focused on the inside first.
That's it. You got to fix the inside and it will reflect on the outside.
That's the key. That's the key. You can't expect external results and you haven't put any internal work in on yourself. You don't read personal development books. You don't keep your mind full. You don't consume wisely. You mindlessly scroll and see what everyone else is doing and get in wrapped up in the comparison trap, which I do at times, but I've trained myself because of the personal development over the years. Like, I don't deal with a lot of these things too. They're fleeting. And if I do deal with them, I talk and I vent through them and I work through it. I don't internalize it all. I use it all as teaching experiences. But I think that is like the biggest takeaway today, is you need to do the internal work if you ever want to experience external results that you're experiencing right now.
That's right.
And you haven't even hit your prime yet.
Oh, wow. Thanks, man. A lot more to go, you know? And I'm thankful and I'm grateful, you know, to be at this position.
And it's bigger than just your creative business pursuits. Like, yours is mind, wellness, body, soul, spirit, physical, mental being, like all of these things. Like, if we focus and take care of ourselves,
yeah,
your creative pursuits, your productivity, your creativity, your relationships, just like it all builds off that.
Yeah. And it all compounds on each other, you know?
Compounds.
Some people get like focused too much on one thing, but it's like you got to focus on things that really impact your life, relationships, emotions, you know, your mental state, you know, and your physical body. Like I that's why I preach the spirit soul body. Like, as you said, like, I truly believe that. And that's why I stand out and I'm a bit different, because I'm not ashamed to share about my spiritual beliefs and share principles that are, you know.
You accept and embrace who you are as your identity, which is super dope. I used to be religious and I'm not anymore, but I can still 100% vibe to what you're doing and be all in and support everything you're about. Like, and it fires me up.
Yeah.
Because we have very similar parallels.
Yeah.
But what we view it as is just comes from a different source.
That's
even
right.
Though it's probably the same source.
But yeah. It
so,
please.
Yeah. You know, so This is super dope. I want to just briefly get into some rapid fire. I think we're going to have to do a round two someday to go super deep in a topic. We covered a lot of things here, but at the end of the day, we want to put people in a position to thrive, not only potentially doing their thing full time, but like thrive as a human in all facets of life. Like, that's dope.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into some quick rapid fire. If you're on death row, I don't know what the hell you'd be doing because you were like an angel over there. But if you're somehow on death row, what would your go-to slice of pizza be? Your last slice?
Barbecue meat lovers.
Barbecue meat lovers. Anywhere specific? Do you got a local joint or like a franchise? Or make it yourself?
Oh, I'll make it myself, bro. I'm Italian, man. I make pizza.
Okay, okay. I literally do. Pizza runs in your veins, man. You got sauce in your veins. Top three books on personal development that you would recommend just off the top of your mind.
How to Win Friends and Influence People. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. How to Get from A to B by Jack Canfield.
I have not read that one. I got the other two. How to Get from A to B?
Yeah. Or Where You Want to Be.
Jack Canfield. Isn't that the chicken noodle soup dude?
Yeah, he's connected with that. I think the book is also has success. It's called Success Principles.
Success Principles. Okay. I think. I'll put all those.
It's an old one. It's an old one. But all those books I read like 8 years ago, but there is a really, really good.
Super valid, man. Super valid today. If you were a font, if you were your own font, like I feel like maybe you have a font somewhere I saw too.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you have your own font.
Oh,
okay,
no, not yet. Sorry. I don't. I'm going to make one,
What kind of typeface would it be if you were like a utopian typeface that was truly yours? What would that be? What style would it be? What would the name be?
I would call it Ascension. It would be a geometric sans serif, futuristic vibes. I'd say minimal modern. Yeah, minimal modern, not the vintage, not the heritage. Futuristic, like techie vibes. Just clean, minimal.
That fintech thing. Okay. Finance wise, what is your best 1 to 2 resources for becoming more financial literate? Because we talked a little bit. We're both into crypto. We're both into the stock market and everything like that. What would be like your top 1 to 2 resources you'd recommend someone getting into to get their finances in check?
There's a good book called Rich Dad Poor Dad. That's a good place to start. A classic. Robert Kiyosaki, classic.
All for it.
There's actually a free. I think it's called Pips. Pips Academy or something. They actually give you free courses in like how to invest in crypto and stuff and stocks. That's a good one. And also on YouTube, watch Graham Stephan. And also I think his name is Alex. Two YouTube channels that I watch. They talk about stocks and stuff.
Love it. Last one. If you were a crypto token or asset or blockchain, what would you be and what would your crypto name be in your stock ticker? I've never asked this one before.
Dogecoin.
No.
No, I'll probably call it, I'll make my own one, call it like Tiger Coin or Lion Coin or something.
Man, I could see you being like Mira Token and being Mira some token. Type of like blockchain layer 2 scaling ability that ties to Ethereum. Limited smart contracts, supply.
Connects to your devices.
Yeah, smart contracts, bid build,
I'm decentralized high tech, bro. I'll go all the way.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, your Mira chain. I'll name it for you. No, this was super dope, man. Where can people go to follow you and support you online?
Yeah, so you can follow me at the Jeremy Mira on Instagram. You can also follow me on Twitter under the same tag. I'm also on YouTube. Just search my name, Jeremy Mira. If you want to learn design and how to do brand identity, you can check my courses out on Skillshare or check out the Mira Academy on my website at jeremymira.com. But yeah, super fun, man. Thank you so much. I'm really privileged to be on here and I honor it. And yeah, just super, super stoked. Thank you so much.
I'll make sure to link up everything too. I got like your Zap link or whatever. I can pull everything from there. But yeah, this was hella awesome. Thanks for the motivation today. I'm ready to take on the rest of my day. And we will most certainly be keeping in touch.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
All right.
Peace.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Jeremy Mira. Do what you do best. If you found value in what he had to say today, go blow him up right now on Instagram or whatever platform that you follow him on and share with him your biggest takeaway. Again, my guests, they love to hear this. They love to connect with you. So if you found this valuable, please one more time. Can you share this with your friends, your family, your following if you found it useful? That would mean the world to me. Again, the show cannot grow without souls like you sharing it. And you can find the full episode information containing all the links and references in the show notes. Like, this thing is loaded with references. That's within your current podcast listening app, episode 228. And yeah, Jeremy is a rising star. This dude is going to be something serious by the time he hits his 30s in this game. Like, watch out for him. So yeah, this dude's going to be a future juggernaut, a legend in the making, hands down. So I really got a chance. I'm really glad I got a chance to connect with him today. And before we end this, are you feeling creatively stuck or isolated within your creative pursuits? If so, you are the exact type of person and soul that I'm looking to work closely with within a future Side Hustlers coaching program. This is a customized 12-week program for 10 students tapping into the next level of clarity, confidence, community, and accountability within their creative side hustle. I host this program every spring and fall, so learn more and join the A-list waitlist by visiting sidehustlerscoaching.com. And this will help you lock in a spot early for an upcoming future spring or fall session. I hope I get a chance to see your name come across the list and get a chance to be your coach. That'd be dope. And as I sign off, got to give a huge shout out to podcast editor Anya Brennan, executive assistant Paige Garland, video specialist Colton Bacher, social media coordinator Hannah Schick, and Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to continue to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, keep creating. You got this.